Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We started talking about last week the eight redemptive names of Jehovah. We talked about in detail Jehovah Raha, which is the Lord our shepherd. Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, or the Lord our provider. Literally, it's the Lord who sees ahead and provides. He sees ahead. He knows ahead of time. The economy, he knows everything ahead of time, and he's already made provision for us. He's Jehovah Jireh. Is he your Jehovah Jireh? Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, or the Lord who heals. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Sitkanu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. And so I was feeling pretty good about myself after I ministered that last week. And then I got into prayer and found out I missed one. It was so amazing. I wasn't looking for it. I was just praying. And as I was praying, wasn't even in the Bible. It was just on my knees, actually. I was just praying. And as I was praying some things out, some words came to me, and the Lord reminded me that there was another one. And that's where we're going tonight, over in 2 Samuel chapter 5. How many of you know Jesus is Lord? Or we can say Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is Jehovah what? Jesus is Jehovah Raha, Jehovah Kadesh, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sitkanu, Jehovah Shammah. So Jesus is all these things to us in this life here on the earth. Now over here in 2 Samuel, we see something else that he is. 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, and we'll pick it up in verse 17. It says, "Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went down to the stronghold." Now, these Philistines are not good people. And they're not looking for David to congratulate him as king. They want to kill him. They're afraid of him. They know the kind of victories that he led the Israelites into in times past, and they just want to get him now. And so they're seeking to kill him. And of course, these Philistines in the Old Testament are a type and shadow, really, of demonic spirits that try to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. They try to attack us. They try to harass us. They try to oppress us. And so here these Philistines were seeking to kill David. And it says in verse 18, "The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord." You know, that's why David had such successes in life. It really wasn't because he was such a skillful military man, according to the flesh. It's because he had a very strong relationship with the Lord, and he dared not do anything without first inquiring of the Lord. He would seek the Lord, expect to receive the answers that he asked the Lord of, that he would get the wisdom that he had need of, and then the Lord would guide him, give him his answers. He would know exactly what to do, and then he was able to do what he did in faith because he knew he heard from God. And that's how we need to live our life. It's a great example to follow. If David could hear from the Lord, we can hear from the Lord. The book of James tells us that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. Let him ask of the Lord. And the Lord will give it to us freely, without fault finding, without reproach, without judging us according to our works to see whether we're worthy or not of the wisdom that we're asking for. He will give it to us freely. That's the kind of Lord we serve. Amen. God's for us. He's not against us. God's working things out for us. He wants to help us. Somebody say, God loves me. Yeah, God loves me. David knew how much the Lord loved him, and therefore David loved the Lord. And he went and inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hands. Don't you love that? I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hands. So notice, the Lord's going to deliver his enemies into his hands, but that doesn't mean he's going to sit back and just scroll through Facebook. Right? He's going to go out and do something. He's going to go out and he's going to do what he does as the commander of the armies of Israel. He's going to go out and he's going to engage the enemy. He's going to fight. But he knows that the Lord is going to give him the victory. The Lord is going to turn his enemies over to him, deliver them into his hand. But he's still going forth. See, faith without works is dead. So he prayed, he heard from God, and then he went out. He didn't just say, oh, praise God, the Lord's taking care of the whole thing, and the army of the Philistines, he's delivering them into my hands, praise God. And then he just goes out each day looking for UPS for the delivery. The Lord says he's going to deliver them into my hands. Is it UPS? Huh? How's it going to come? No, it's going to come by you going out there and doing what the Lord tells you to do, or do what you know to do based on what he's already told you or the position he's already placed you in life. There's some things you should already know to do just because of the position that you're in life, right? So the Lord says to him, doubtless, I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. Verse 20. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim, which means master of breakthroughs. He is the master of breakthroughs. Hallelujah. That's who he is. But notice he says, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of water. Those three words, has broken through, comes from one Hebrew word, paratz. Paratz. And so notice he says, the Lord. Who's that in Hebrew? Jehovah. Jehovah Paratz is literally what we see in the Hebrew. What does that mean? Jehovah, the Lord, my breakthrough. The Lord, my breakthrough. That's who he is. Jesus is Lord of my breakthrough. Praise God. That word paratz also means break out, burst out, to break into, to break open, to break up, to break in pieces, to break out violently upon, increase, to spread, distribute, to be broken through. How many of you know Jesus, when he walked this earth, he broke through all of the enemy's strongholds that were set up against you and I. He broke through. He overcame everything the devil had to throw at him. He overcame sin. He overcame Satan. He overcame hell. He overcame death. He overcame all these things. He broke through. He's the Lord who's broken through. But he's also the Lord of the breakthrough. In other words, he has broken through so that now he can break through you today. Because of what he's done, bless God, there's now things he can do in this world, in our time, in our life today. He has broken through so that he can break through. So that he can break through. He has broken through that he can break through you and I. He wants to break through. I said he wants to break through. Baal Perazim, he's the master of breakthroughs. Or the Lord of the breaks. How many people just need a break tonight? Bless God. Just give me a break. Well, you got the Lord, you got a break. Amen. He's the Lord of the breaks. Now, this word paratz is used over in Genesis as well. And it's in connection. Let's go there. Genesis chapter 38. And it is in connection with the birth of Judah and Tamar's son, Perez. We see it over in Genesis 38 in verse 27. Now it came to pass at the time for giving birth that behold, twins were in her womb. And so it was when she was giving birth that the one put out his hand. And the midwife took a scarlet thread and bound it on his hand, saying, this one came out first. Now, of course, the one that comes out first would be considered the older son. And so, therefore, the older son would have the legal right to the birthright, the father's birthright and all the blessings. Okay? So, one of them sticks his hand out. He sticks his hand out. And she says, well, this one came out first. Then it happened as he drew back his hand that his brother came out unexpectedly. And she said, how did you break through? This breach be upon you. Therefore, his name was called Perez. Afterwards, his brother came out who had the scarlet thread on his hand. And his name was called Zerah. This Zerah who stuck out his hand, did he come out first? No, he didn't come. How many of you know babies don't, it's not a good sign when a baby comes out hands first. Right? That generally is not a good thing. Right? They need to come out head first. That's how the baby needs to come out. So this guy wasn't coming out. He just stuck his hand out there to get the birthright. He was just looking for a handout. And he got it. The guy took the birthright. And then Perez, it says he drew his hand back. I know Perez might have had something to do with that. Pulled him back in and he came thrusting forth, and she said, this breach be upon you. Now, where it says, how did you, when she said, how did you break through, speaking to the baby, how did you break through? How did you break through? Those words come from the Hebrew word paratz. Paratz, which we were just looking at over there in 2 Samuel, because it means breakthrough. She said, this breach be upon you. That word breach means bursting forth, breaking forth. A break. She said, how did you break through? Again, that's paratz. That's breakthrough, burst out, break into, break open, break up, break in pieces, break out violently upon. And so that's why he got the name Perez. But it's interesting that this name, this word, paratz and Perez, this name is illustrated here in connection to a nativity, to a birth. This breaking through or breaking out, in this case, is the baby coming forth. So in other words, this breaking out, this breaking through is coming from within. Coming from within. And just like there is natural labor and birthing, there is also spiritual labor and birth. And we see that New Testament over here in Galatians 4, verse 19. He says, "My little children," this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church, "my little children for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." Notice that. I'm laboring in birth until Christ is formed in you. So just like a woman can be pregnant with a baby and bring forth that baby, the church is pregnant with Christ. And we know Christ is Jehovah, right? We know Christ is the Word of God. He is the Word. Christ Jesus is the Word of God. We know that looking over at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things that were made by him, and without him nothing that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." Then you go over to verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So who's it talking about here? Who's this Word that became flesh and dwelt among us? Jesus or Christ. So the Word is Jesus. It is Christ. So here the apostle is saying, "My little children for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." We could say until the Word is formed in you. Because we are pregnant with Christ. Spiritually, we are pregnant with Christ. Spiritually, we are pregnant with the Word of God. See, just like the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary with the Word that became flesh, the Holy Spirit has impregnated you and I as believers with that same Word of God. That's how we were born again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever." So there is the seed of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God, which we know impregnated Mary, but also impregnates believers today. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're pregnant. I mean, the Lord knows how to keep us barefoot and pregnant. You know what I'm saying? He just knows how to keep us. Keep us just full of the Word. Full of the Word. Full of the Word. Can you say amen? There comes a time where the Word of God, the promises of God that we've been impregnated with, needs to come forth. And there needs to be a breakout. There needs to be a bursting forth. It's not good enough just to be pregnant with the promises. We got to deliver the promises so that the promises can work a deliverance in our life and in the lives of others. We got to get what's in us out of us. Many times people are looking through for a breakthrough. They're looking for a breakthrough in all the wrong places. They're out here looking for a breakthrough financially. They're looking for a breakthrough physically. They're looking for a breakthrough emotionally, mentally, whatever it might be. Folks are looking for breakthroughs out here, but the breakthrough that we need to be looking for is from within here. We need the Lord to arise and break forth, and his Word to come forth from us, through us. Our answer is in us. Our breakthrough is in us. That's where the breakthrough is. Breakthrough's not out here. Lord, I need a breakthrough. Lord, I need a breakthrough. Well, where is the Lord? Where is the Lord? Well, Lord, if you'd come down out of heaven, I can have a breakthrough. No, he says, remember Romans chapter 10? You don't remember Romans chapter 10? Let's go there. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks. Everybody say speaks. Speaks this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word. See, Christ and the word. He puts them together right here, doesn't he? See, did you catch that? See, he says, don't say who will ascend into heaven and bring Christ down from above. Then he says, what does it say? The word. See, he shifts from Christ to the word because Christ is the word and the word is Christ. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So Christ is the word, and the word is near you. You don't have to ask God to come down from heaven and deliver you and cry out for a breakthrough. Your breakthrough is near you. Your breakthrough is near you. It's in your heart and in your mouth. In your heart and in your mouth. Not just in your heart, but in your mouth also. We need to be speaking the word of God. Speaking God's word. Now, just as Zerah, the twin brother of Perez, reached out with the arm of the flesh that he might have preeminence, the flesh would try to steal your birthright as a born-again child of God today. See, we've got our own flesh to deal with, don't we? We have the Spirit of Christ, who is the Word of God, who is Jehovah. He's being formed in us. He's being formed in us. But we also have Zerah. We have him also. And who's he? He's the flesh. He's the arm of the flesh. He's the hand of the flesh. He's the hand of man. We have him to contend with it also. And you know, the flesh is always trying to push itself forward first in life. Have you ever noticed that? See, we got to understand something. That we're spirit beings, one spirit with the Lord. Christ is on the inside of us. And yet, we have this flesh. This flesh that we have to discipline and bring in to subjection so that it does not dominate our lives. The flesh is fighting to maintain dominance over the Spirit. Or over the Word of God. Or over the Lord who is in you. The flesh is always trying to maintain dominance. Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So the flesh is trying to keep the Spirit from doing what it wants to do, and the Spirit's trying to keep the flesh from doing what it wants to do. Sounds like Perez and Zerah, doesn't it? Fighting in the womb. See, there's a fight going on in us. And it's between the flesh and the Spirit, against the Spirit of Christ that is on the inside of us. There's a wrestling going on in there. It's amazing. Just the other day, and I've seen this in myself, so I'm not picking on my son or anything. But, we were talking and things, and I said, now, grab the Bible. I want you to read a scripture. So he grabbed the Bible, and I had him open to the scripture, and this is he started reading the scripture. He yawned. Now, up to that point, there was no yawning. Everybody was energetic and ready to go about their day. And so, but next thing you know, he yawned. I said, now you see that? I pointed it out to him. That's the flesh. It's fighting to maintain control of your spirit. It knows once you start getting in the Word of God and start building yourself up on your most holy faith, you're going to overcome him and discipline him and put him in his place. And that little fleshly mind has a mind all of its own. And it don't want to let you do that. Now notice that. It says the flesh. It doesn't even say the devil. It says the flesh lusts against the spirit. So we got to understand that the flesh is really our biggest problem. Because it's the flesh that's going to try to keep us out of the blessings of God and try to steal all our blessings from us. It's always going to try to assert itself forward. It's always going to try to reach forward in its own strength, in its own ability, in its own wisdom to get ahead in life, to get a hold of the blessings in life. The flesh is always going to be doing that. And we can't allow the flesh to control us like that, to dominate us like that. Now, we know the devil's really not a problem because Jesus disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them. So we understand the devil is defeated, but our bodies are still too undisciplined. And that's where the problem is. It's not about a defeated devil. It's about an undisciplined body. That's where the problem lies. So we want to yell at the devil. And we need to use our authority over the devil. Don't get me wrong. We need to put him in his place. But that's easy. It's easy to say, get out in Jesus' name. That didn't take much. That's kind of fun. That's kind of fun. Telling the devil where to go. Where he can go back to. Right? Sending him to his proper place. That's easy. Using the name of Jesus on devils, that's fun. That's exciting. But disciplining the body, that's not always as exciting and as fun. And so we got the devil. He's bound over there in the corner. He's gagged and everything. We've been binding him every day. Bind you. I tie you up. I gag you. He's the devil's over here. He's like, what more can you do to me? Bop him on the head. Put him under my feet. Kick him. Bang. And we're working the devil. You know, we're really beating him up good. You know, he's just... And then we turn around, and what happens? The flesh is doing what it wants to do. I want pizza. I want strife. I want this. I want that. Huh? I want to get in something dirty. I want to do something picky. I want to... You know how the flesh is. And then what do? I bind you, devil. He's like... He's way bound, man. Bind you. Now, why do you keep having these problems? Because the flesh has a mind of its own. Even when the devil's bound and gagged, your mind is still the flesh. It still likes earth. It's earthly. It's naturally minded. So it's always going to go towards natural earthly things. And your flesh don't know any better. Your flesh is just all sense-oriented. All it thinks about is what? How does it taste? How does it feel? Well, have you looked at the calories? No, it doesn't matter. How does it taste? Do you know that's not food? You understand that's just chemicals. Yeah, but it tastes really good. You know, you put that in your body doesn't know what to do with it. It doesn't, just, can you leave me alone? I bind you. I bind all this legalistic bondage. And the flesh just keeps going, you know. Just keeps hurting itself and self-destructive. Flesh is self-destructive. Don't know any better. It's just self-destructive. It's just always seeking to gratify itself. It's the flesh. So let's give the devil a little break. No, let's not. Let's just keep him bound. But let's get on our game. Let's get on top of things here and understand where our biggest problem really is. Because if we can dominate the flesh, and the devil's already defeated, we can walk through this life total victory. Total victory. With the Lord dominating our life. And friend, I got news for you. He is the master of breakthroughs. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. There's nothing too high. There's nothing too overwhelming. He can break through it if you will let him break out of you. That's the whole thing. If we can get the body under control so the Lord can break through us, there'll be no problem breaking down, bursting forth, and breaking and destroying in pieces. All the things in the flesh, in the world, that try to oppose us. Any kind of stronghold the devil has put up, that's not a problem. The Lord will bust that to pieces. But we got to turn them loose. We just got to turn them loose. We just got to give birth. We just got to let him burst forth, come forth. And so how's that going to happen? We got to take control of the flesh. We got to pull the flesh back. When the flesh is reaching out, you got to pull the flesh back. All right? You got to pull the flesh back and begin to push your spirit forward. So notice here in Job chapter 32 and in verse 18, this is Elihu. He says, "For I am full of words." I'm full of words. That's what we've been talking about, right? Christ in you, the word is near you, even in your heart, right? And in your mouth. He says, "I'm full of words. The spirit within me compels me. Indeed, my belly is like wine that has no vent, no opening. It is ready to burst like new wineskins. I will speak that I may find relief. I must open my lips and answer." Now we understand. We just said Romans 10. We just saw over there, the word is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. So the word is in us. Oh my, have we been getting full of the word? Huh? Full of the word, full of the word, full of the word, full of the word. Hallelujah. Man, just getting full, full of the word of God. That word growing on the inside of us. See, it gets to the point where you have got to release the words of God. You got to speak the words of God. He said, "I must open my mouth. I've got to give vent to what I'm feeling on the inside of me." Let me read this from another translation. The Amplified Bible says, "My belly is like unvented wine. Like new wineskins, it is about to burst." I got news for you. God's big in you. I said, God's big in you. God's been growing up in you, being formed in you. The word's been being developed in you. And you're full. You're full. Some folks don't feel that way because they're so conscious of the natural man, the outer man, the flesh. But man, we're full. I said, we're full. We're full of so many good things. We're full of such life. Oh, hallelujah. We're full of such faith. Man, we got the faith of God in us. Yes, we do. Somebody say, I have faith. But remember, having faith in you and being in faith are two different things. See, we have faith in us because, man, we have the word in us, the word of faith. That's what's on the inside of us. That's what's been grown, developing, being formed in us. But it's not enough to just have faith in you. You've got to be in faith. Which means what? Which means you've got to be walking in that faith that is in you. You can't just have any. I think a perfect illustration of this is when Paul came to the city of Lystra. And he was preaching the gospel there, the Bible says. He was preaching the gospel there, the word of God. He was preaching the gospel. And there was a man who was crippled from his mother's womb. He had never walked a day in his life. And he was sitting there. And the Bible says, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Now you just stop that right there. The man is crippled, never walked a day in his life. Paul's preaching the gospel. As Paul's preaching the gospel, he's observing this man. He's preaching and he's observing this man. This man's got his attention. And so Paul's preaching the gospel and observing this man. He could see this man has faith in him. I could see the way he's responding to the word. I could see it in his eyes. This man's got faith in him. Faith is discernible. I said faith is discernible. And we need to be able to discern faith. So he discerned the faith was in him. And so Paul, observing him intently, seeing he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And the man leaped and walked. Hallelujah. Now I want you to notice this. The man had faith to be healed. But yet he wasn't healed. Was he? Not yet. Not until Paul said something. Not until Paul activated his faith. In other words, got him to act on the faith that he had. So the man had faith in him, but if Paul never said stand up on your feet, never said anything, just went on, preached his message, finished his message, closed and dismissed, would that man have walked? He had faith in him to walk, but they would have wheeled him out of there. They would have wheeled him out of there. But the man had faith to be healed, and Paul got him from having faith in him to getting into faith. And when he got into faith, man, there was a breaking forth. Hallelujah. There was a bursting out. What happened? The healer, the life of God, healing, bursted forth from him. And that man began to leap and run around and do things he had never done in his entire life. So he had faith in him, but he needed to get into faith. Well, it's like that with a lot of things in life. There's a lot of things we have faith in us about. We got faith in us that the Lord's our shepherd. Right? He's going to lead us and guide us. And yet how often do we whine about not knowing what to do and where to go? And I'm so confused. How many times do Christians who know the Lord is their shepherd talk like that? Act like that? See, they got faith in them. You go up and say, "Is the Lord your shepherd?" "Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The Lord is my shepherd." They have faith in him. I wouldn't argue with them that they do. But are they in faith that the Lord's their shepherd? No, not if they're talking like that. Not if they're acting like that. How many people have faith in them that the Lord will provide? See, we have faith there. Yes, the Lord will provide. But are we in faith that the Lord will provide? See, well, that's how we're talking. How are we acting? Not just a church, but how are we acting when we look at that budget? How are we acting when we look at those finances? What are we talking then? What's happening then? Right? How many people have faith in them that the Lord is your peace? Oh, man. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my peace. I'm just so worried. I'm worried to death about the children. I'm worried to death. People say that kind of thing. It's terrible. Makes you cringe when you understand the power of words. Well, do you believe the Lord is your peace? Yes, yeah, oh yes. Oh yes. Well, I believe that you do believe that in your heart. But it sure isn't in your mouth. You're sure not bringing it forth. You're not delivering it into this natural realm. See? Can't you say? Can't just have faith for these things in you. You got to be in faith. How many people believe that the Lord is present? That he is Jehovah Shammah? Yeah, he's my peace. He's present. Ah, the Lord's with me all the time. Oh, yes, I don't go anywhere without the good Lord. The Lord is with me. Wherever I go, the Lord is there. And yet, how do people talk? How do people act? That really tells us whether or not they're in faith or just having faith in them. See, this is the difference between life and death. This is the difference between your faith being alive and your faith being dead. We got to be in faith, not just have faith in us. So many people have said, well, I don't understand why it's happening, because I believe. I don't doubt that you do. But the very fact that you're sitting here saying, I don't understand why it's happening, you're whining about it, tells me that you believe, but your believing is dead. It's just down deep, down there, buried on the inside of you. But it's time to bring it forth. It's time to bring it forth. Well, how do you do that? Well, bless God, you start speaking. Well, I've done that. I know. And you might have brought something forth at one point in your life. Thank God for it. You sure did bring forth the new birth because you got saved, didn't you? You got born again. Thank God you brought that forth. Well, why don't we bring forth some more things? Hallelujah. Why don't we bring forth the peace? Why don't we bring forth our sanctification? Why don't we bring forth all these other provisions that the Lord is to us and in us and wants to be through us? Why don't we bring that forth too also? How do I do it? Bless God, speak it. Declare it. Talk it. Talk it like a wineskin that is just about to explode because it hasn't had any vent. So what is that all about? Well, it's fermentation. Fermentation causes pressure. I've got this drink called kefir. And so you take kefir and you put it in these bottles, you know. And you cap it. And anyway, pressure builds up in there because it starts to ferment the milk. You put milk and these kefir grains in there and it ferments. Look it up online, you'll love it. Anybody wants any tips, I'll help them. And it ferments, and pressure begins to build in there. The other day, I made some kefir ginger ale. I got a little fancy. I made some kefir ginger ale and had a tight bottle cap on it and went over to it and poosh! And man, that thing foamed and foamed and foamed. Usually something foams for a little while, you know. Well, I just kept it in the sink. We're just all looking at it. It was like a volcano. It's just rushing, gushing. It just was like, the thing was desperate to escape. It was like it was trapped in there. It's like, thank God you opened it up. I mean, it just kept coming, Janie. It just kept coming. She got me started on this whole thing. Talk to her about it. And it just went, I said, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, after a little while, the thing stops, you know. But no, this thing just kept foaming at the mouth, foaming at the mouth, foaming at the mouth. You know? And how many people know demon-possessed people can foam at the mouth? Isn't that right? Why does that happen? Because they're so full of the devil. So full of the devil that craziness is coming out of them. Craziness, insanity is coming out of them. It has to express itself. It has to give vent. Well, if a demon can come out of a person like that, foaming at the mouth, how much more can Jehovah Peretz? How much more can Jehovah Peretz come out and express himself? Friend, we need to get shook up. I believe God's trying to shake some bottles tonight. He's using his word, trying to shake some things up. And understand, you got the breaker on the inside of you. You got your answer on the inside of you. Your breakthrough's near you. It's right there in your heart, bless God. Pop the lid and let him come forth. And don't do this little and cap it back down again. Pop that thing loose and turn her loose and keep it foaming. Keep it going. Keep it coming out. And don't give the flesh any opportunity. Don't let the flesh rise up and try to put the lid back on it, because it's going to do it. Have you ever been in a situation where you know you're supposed what you're supposed to say, but you're not saying it? You know what I'm talking about? It's like your mouth is so heavy. It's like something's holding your jawbone from speaking the word of God. You ever feel that way? Or you pray? It's like so hard to pray. And you've already bound the devil three times, and you're still having a tough time praying. I don't understand. Binding the devil must not be working. No, it's your flesh. It's hanging onto your jawbone. It doesn't want you to speak the word of God. You got to shake it off. You got to rise up. Let the greater one on the inside, let your spirit rise up from within and take control of it. You are one with the breaker. You're one with him. So rise up and break forth. Break out. Speak. Keep speaking. Keep declaring. Keep praising. Keep exalting God. Keep speaking the word of God. And what are you going to have? You're going to have everything you're saying, because he said you'll have whatever you say. But people grow weary and well-doing, I understand, and then they get tired and they stop speaking. But bless God, no more. We got some breakthroughs to release. The year's almost over. It's time to experience some breakthroughs, right? Hallelujah. I think God wants to speed some things up. You got to speak up. Ooh, I like that. For God to speed things up for you, you got to speak up. He'll speed it up if you'll speak up. But you got to keep speaking up. You got to keep speaking up. Keep speaking up, and things will speed up, and you'll see breakthroughs. You'll begin to see things change and happen in your life that you've only been carrying around believing in your heart would someday happen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Praise God. Stand on your feet with me tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.